FMR 101.3 FM.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. Now, the Cape Town Music Academy is presenting master saxophonist Makoi Mkhubata's homecoming concerts to mark a milestone birthday. His first concert took place on the 1st of June in District 6, and then there's another one on Sunday the 2nd of June, this very evening in Langa, and yet another one on Thursday the 6th at the Café Roux in Noordhoek. He's joined by all sorts of people, and I'm going to find out all about that. But it's a great pleasure to have Makoi here in the studio with me to talk about what sounds like a very interesting life, and also these concerts and his plans and his special choice of music. So Makoi, welcome. Welcome to Fine Music Radio and to People of Note.
Thank you for having me here.
I see that you were born in Cape Town. You're a Cape Townian.
That's right, yes.
And then you fled us.
Yes, yeah, unfortunately, Even Mr. Hiro Six Mabuse loved my playing and invited me to come to Johannesburg in 1987.
And you've lived in Johannesburg ever since?
Ever since, yeah. All my four children are born there, you know.
Oh, your children
Yeah, I call myself a Gautonian.
Oh, do you?
It's a market.
That will annoy some of your Cape Town fans who want you to
they
be
They love
Cape
it,
Townian.
Yeah.
Oh, they love you to say Gautonian.
Gautonian, yeah.
Okay. Do you travel quite a lot?
Yeah, quite a lot. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I was in America, touring with the very guest of mine, Gary Whitner.
He's playing with you at this concert,
that's
at this
right.
series of concerts.
Yes. And last year, same thing. We, also toured with Paul Hanmer. We went to Switzerland. Yeah. Mm.
I knew Paul Hanmer very well in Johannesburg. What a great musician he is as well.
Yes,
he was also a guest on People of Note.
Great.
So there you are. Now at least I know someone you're playing with. Although I have heard the name Gary Whitner. I've heard of him before as well.
Yes, he's been, yeah.
You said just now when you moved to Johannesburg that somebody heard you, I didn't catch the name, and invited you to Johannesburg.
Sipho Mabuse, I was playing at Good Hope Center with a band called Lou and the Jive. And he loved my playing and invited me to join his band,
Okay, and then your life changed, I presume, after that.
Yes,
because you went to Johannesburg and, in fact, became a professional musician.
Well, I was even in Cape Town, because my career started in 1978,
Okay.
Yes.
I'm most intrigued to know what this special birthday is, but I won't ask you your age. Mm. It says here to mark a milestone birthday. Mm. But let's keep that secret for the moment.
Thank you. Yeah, great.
But the next question I want to ask you, Makoi, is how come you chose the saxophone? What was it about the saxophone that you liked so much?
Well, I like to say it chose me because I started with Penny Whistle, in 1976. Because
the real original Penny Whistle?
Penny Whistle, yes. Because prior to that, I thought I was going to be a visual artist because I can draw, what happened in 1976, a friend of mine that we used to draw together at my house left his Penny Whistle, and I tried it and I fell in love with it, And then 2 years later, my mom bought me a side flute, and my life changed,
That's right, because you played the flute as well, didn't you?
Yes, the proper
flute, you call it a side flute, but I mean
exactly,
it's the proper orchestral flute.
That's right. It was my first instrument. Joining my first professional band in 1978, Fever, because the great late Ezra Ngokane just left the band, they wanted to, replacement, and I was hired to play the flute. But then music we played was top 20, top 40. It was loud, Earth, Wind and Fire, the Jazz Crusaders. So
popular music, nonetheless.
Yes. But and then the flute started to disappear, somehow,
You mean in the sound?
Texture, I bought myself a tenor saxophone in 1980, Yeah, and then it slowly became my first instrument over the years.
But if I remember, because I used to play the flute, and if I remember correctly, the fingering on a flute is very similar to the saxophone.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So it was an easy transition.
It wasn't much of a, the problem was the mouth, had to really you get to grow muscles, you know.
Yes, because the flute you play very differently to produce the sound from a saxophone.
Yeah, and for a year it messed up my flute sound. So one, you know, I had to practice all the time, you know, so that when I switch, you know,
Did you still play the two together? Sometimes you play the flutes.
Yes.
Oh, that must be a bit confusing, especially for your embouchure.
Yeah. But it's used. It's used to it now. You know,
is the saxophone? It's a single reed instrument, like a clarinet.
That's right.
It's not a double reed like an oboe.
Yeah, it's a single.
It's a single reed.
Yes. Thick one, though. Yeah, big one. Yeah.
And I mean, may I say, after playing the flute, it certainly makes a noise. You're not likely to get drowned out in a band by playing the saxophone.
It was a vast different. And the boss, you know, was happy that I purchased a tenor sax, so that he can blend with trumpets and voices and drums, you know.
And you've stayed with that ever since, the saxophone.
That's right,
I think let's have your first piece of music. I'm mildly intrigued. You know, you're talking to a classical person here more than anything else. So you're stretching my abilities here. So I'm interested to see what you're going to choose. And your first piece is called Yakal Inkomo. What is this? Tell us what we're going to hear.
Yeah, it's a South African. It's become a South African standard, you know, for years now by the late great Winston Mankungu, the father of tenor saxophone, you know, and influenced many of us. Yakal Inkomo, I would hear it, you know, when I was growing up. Yeah, and I was privileged that he was my neighbor, as well as the other great Ezra Ngokana, you know. Yeah, it was great, you know.
Lucky you to have neighbors like that.
Exactly. So it's one of the songs I grew up with, and later I learned to play it, and
let's see what it sounds like.
Crazy.
Thank you.
Well, that piece of music was called Yakal Inkomo, and it was the first choice, in fact, of my guest on People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio, the distinguished jazz musician Mkoy Mkhabata, who is in Cape Town to do various concerts on the first, Saturday first he did a concert, Sunday the second, and also on Thursday the sixth in Noordhoek. But I'll give you more details of that Noordhoek concert later. But Mkoy, I just want to ask you, we spoke about you learning the penny whistle,
yes,
going to the flute, and then to the saxophone.
Yeah.
Have you ever written any music, or are you not a composer, you performer?
I believe I'm also a composer, you know.
Oh, do you write stuff as well?
Yes. You know, you can't have over 20 albums, you know, with that.
Have you got 20 albums?
Yes, as a solo artist, yeah.
And yeah. So it's not all covers. You've written a lot of that music yourself.
I've written, you know, 90% of that music.
Oh, 90%?
Yes. My debut album, you know, I didn't write a single song there because I was young and I didn't feel my compositions were good enough. And then the talent scout, the late Koloi Libona, said, no problem. He commissioned two musicians, Paul Henma, that's when I met Paul in 1988,
the late
Jabun Kosi, you know. And then after that, you know, started, you know, writing my own things, you know.
Okay.
I wasn't aware that I was waking up with music all the time. I thought everybody was like that, I have that talent. I wake up with ideas every day. My phone is full of notes where I sing out, you know, and then I write it down later and work on it, you know. I remember back in the 80s, I would always have a Walkman in case I get in, you know.
Oh, yes, remember the Walkman.
Yeah. And I would record something and work on it later and, you know, share it with my bandmates. Yeah. It still happens to this day.
So it's quite interesting that you said you didn't realize you were unique. You thought everybody worked up thinking.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you obviously had that talent. Like Schubert.
Yeah.
And Mozart.
Yeah.
Who had the music running through their heads all the time.
Yeah. I was relieved when I saw Ladies' Black Mambazo's late leader, George Shabalala. You know, he would catch songs and wake his bandmates up, you know, because he didn't write music, and taught them. You know, they lived in a hostel when they were starting out, you know.
Yes.
Yet, you know, my wife, when I met her when young, she thought I was crazy because beautiful ideas will still come in the wee hours of 3 a.m., you know. Then, you know, thanks God, you know, if you have a nice house, you know, I must just, you know, whisper and go to my study and work on it, you know, and sing it and work on it later, you know.
Yeah.
When we were living in flats in Hillbrow, she used to be mad with me, you know, because, you know, idea rings and I love it, you know. Yeah, I lose some when I'm tired, you know, but then at times, it's like, wow, this is good. I have to, you know, capture this, you know. Then I'll be mumbling, you know, scratching it, you know, yeah.
Shame your poor wife, as
yeah,
you say.
Yeah.
But that's the talent.
Yeah.
This is the talent that someone has,
yeah,
and therefore you must respond to it.
For sure.
And you say
sure.
You do it on your cell phone at the moment. Your ideas on your cell phone.
Exactly. And then transfer it to a laptop and then write it out and then give it to the band members,
Okay. Mm. Is your wife a musician at all?
She's not at all. No, she's not, yeah.
Mm. Well, just as well. Keeps the house.
Yeah.
And your children?
Yeah, no, not yet.
Yeah.
Although they started, you know, but they have. There are so many choices in life these days, you know. They took my students. They do what they call beats, you know. Instead of playing, we have all the instruments in the house, but they'd rather be in the studio and create what they call beats, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
The youngsters.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mkoy, when you obviously started, as you said, writing music when you were very young.
Yes.
Even though you didn't then publish that because you thought it wasn't good enough. But so that's been there all through your life, obviously. When were you first aware of it, this love of music and this music flowing through your brain? Were you very young?
In the late 70s. Yeah, late 70s. In 1976, when I was an artist as in drawing, you know. Mm,
you said you were interested in that.
So that very day I, you know, picked up that pen whistle that was left by my friend. I was like, wow, this, I remember, you know, Bud Rodney, an elder would say Bud Rodney.
Okay.
I remember that day when I picked it up, you know, the breath was massaging my hands. I was like, wow, this is nice. But then it didn't sound great, you know. When my friend came to our house the next day, I said, man, this thing is nice, you know. Because he used to play it during breaks, you know, our drawing sessions. Mm-hmm. Then show me, how does it, because it doesn't sound like when you play it. I said, no, it's easy, mate, just close the holes properly. And that's what I did.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting, yeah.
And then my drawing took a nosedive from that day. I just wanted to play this thing, mm-hmm. you know. I would mimic every song I had heard on the radio. You know, my mom had records, you know, I would play.
While the records were playing.
Yeah. You know, and then I started following the jazz musicians, you know, people who you know, advanced, they showed mm-hmm. me tips, you know. And then the late Robert Sitole, yeah, you know, got me to play. I played on his flute. I was like, wow, my mom, you have to buy me this.
And that was the first time you tasted the experience of the flute.
Exactly. I think it was now in 1977. And then my mom raised enough money only years later in 1978, you know, got me a flute now, you know.
But the flute is very different from the penny whistle, isn't it?
Very
it's
different,
such a different technique to blow it, first of all. That special armature you have, plus all the keys and everything else.
Mm.
So you dropped the penny whistle. But I was going to say to you when you were talking about the penny whistle that it's got a unique sound. People who play the penny whistle properly get a most amazing effect from it. You hear it on all the sort of music. It's got a unique sound that nothing else quite has. Do you agree with that?
I do agree. Yes. And it might look limited because it doesn't have sharps and flats, you know. It doesn't go chromatically,
no,
you know.
Yeah. Whereas with a flute, obviously, you can do that.
Yes. But then if you work hard enough, there's a way you don't close the holes properly. Oh. And then, you know, you can go chromatically. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And clearly that's what people who play the penny whistle well do.
Yes, I certainly
want to hear a penny whistle. But anyway, we won't do that. Let's have another piece of music, Mokoi. And I see your second piece is called Chona. Now, what is this all about? What are we going to hear?
Chona is a song by the late, great Pat Machikiza. It's one of the songs, tunes I grew up listening to, you know. And once again, like Yakal Ngoma, I learned to play it, you know, as I was starting up. He's one of our heroes, you know, from Queenstown, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, originally from Queenstown. He died in Durban, you know, playing in hotels, solo, you know, played with other greats, Kipumuyeketsi, yeah. So
what instrument did he play?
Piano player, by Pat Machikiza.
That was a piece called Chorna, and was the second choice of my guest on this week's edition of People of Note. I'm talking to Mokoi Mokgabata, who is a distinguished jazz musician, a saxophonist, as you've heard, and he's doing some concerts here in Cape Town, visiting us from Johannesburg. You know, just reading through your bio and all that, you've had some really influential musicians as that you now call your friends. For example, Sifo Hotsticks Mabuse. You mentioned him briefly earlier, but he was clearly very, very important to you. Not only did he take you to Johannesburg, but he's influenced you a lot, hasn't he?
He has. You know, and he's one of the musicians that showed me ways in Johannesburg, along with the late another Sipho Gumede. You know. Yeah, Johnny Mekwa, they mentored young guys like us, you know, and we'll only talk about music. For instance, my very contract in 1988, when I got the recording deal, I didn't take it to a lawyer, that contract. I took it to Hotsticks Mabuse, to Sipho Mabuse, you know. Mm-hmm. He was knocked out how great the contract was, you know. Yeah, because I was signed to a British-based company in 1988, Zomba Records, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember at the time our own Jonathan Butler was with Zomba Records and Billy Ocean. I am 27-year-old getting this deal was like, wow, you know. Guys in Johannesburg were like, you know, you just got to Johannesburg, you know. Yeah, because I arrived in Johannesburg in 1988, I'm getting a recording deal, you know. Yeah, whilst working with Hotsticks Mabuse, and you know,
gosh,
and
lucky you.
It was that, and then
a
so
break. Gosh.
What a break, yeah. You know. So he helped, you know, he'll do stuff like that, like Sipho Gumede. When I bought my first house, he advised me about the mortgage bond, the do's and don'ts. You know, it was a community of musicians, Victor Antoni,
and who looked after themselves, each other, I should say.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Look after each other. How did you get your record deal? Because that's an amazing thing to have happened, a British record deal.
Yeah, this talent scout, just like the great Hotsticks Mabuse, he heard me play with a local band. I remember it was at the Roxy Rhythm Bar. He was a blind gentleman.
Yeah, he was blind.
Yes, yeah. Kolo Ilibona, yeah.
So his ear was therefore very extra trained.
Exactly, yeah. He said he loved my sound, he'd like to record me. And I was like, wow, you know.
I was nervous.
Yeah. I said, no, it's sorted, you know. When I told him that, hey, I don't have any compositions, the ideas I have, I don't think it's strong. I said, no, it's sorted. I've commissioned, you know, some guys to write for the artist, you know, that, I'm signing, you know. Mm-hmm. Because it was a series of jazz jive, you know. It was first three albums were myself, the late Ezra Ngokane and Banera Chabane, you know, these senior musicians, and then I was, you know, amongst them. Yeah, it was, you know,
but
something
the,
special.
Also, the inspiration from these people must have been great for you.
It was.
Listening
to
them, working with them, seeing how they work.
For sure.
Listening to their music, it must have been very inspiring for you.
Very, very. I've been privileged.
You've been privileged. You've been blessed indeed.
Exactly. I don't take that for granted. I always, you know, I'm thankful every day, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that there are, you know, hurdles along the way. I struggle a bit in Johannesburg and here, you know, but... Yeah, it's been relatively okay.
I keep wanting to use the word "you blessed" because you really have been, and also you work with Hugh Masekela.
That's right.
I mean, that's another huge name to have become connected with.
Yeah, in 1992. Yeah, I toured the whole world with him. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, well, what a musician, mm-hmm. and loved all over the world. You know,
he is as well.
Yeah. But Hugh was so special. I mean. You will get to border, you know, uh-huh. they'll, or airport or wherever. With his whole entourage, they'll call him right in front. Come, Hugh Masekela, Huey. They called him Huey, you know, America and in Mexico, Huey, you know,
It seems funny, doesn't it, to hear him called Huey?
Yeah.
But what a great name he was as well. But now you toured the world with him. It says here that you did amount of touring.
Yes. Because I worked with him for 2 years. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So is that when you went to America? Was that with him?
I went to America for the first time with PJ Powers. I also worked with PJ Powers. After Hostis Mabuse, 88, PJ Powers, and then later Juma Sekela. We toured, you know, America and Europe, yes.
So you've also done Europe, you've toured around Europe.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And how have you found that the Americans and the Europeans appreciate your music, your own compositions? Have they enjoyed it?
Very much. I'm well received, and there's so much respect. You know, they keep on calling me back. You know, I've been for the past few years, you know, after COVID, I've been going every year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm glad, because that is, I mean, people recognize a great talent and an accomplished person when they see or hear him, don't they?
Sure,
and I mean,
sure.
Look at the career and reputation you've had.
Mm, yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
And still it goes.
Yeah.
What I would like to do now is take another piece of music and just ask you to tell me a little bit about this, although it's the famous Take Five, but
that's
I'll
right.
read the Dave Brubeck one.
That's right.
Yes. Is there a special version of this that we're going to hear?
To be great to get the original, you know.
Yes, okay.
Because as a toddler, that's what I will hear. Uncle Sinod, you know, loved, you know, Dave Brubeck. The Modern Jazz Quartet, that Oscar Peterson, you know. So
those big jazz names.
Yes, yeah, it's what I heard in the 60s, you know, as a toddler, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes me back, you know, in Langa Township, you know, yeah, because at my grandma's place, yeah.
Is that where you used to hear this music, on records, on the
on
radio?
On records, yes.
When you were so young still.
Yes.
And already it spoke to you, that music spoke to you.
Exactly, yeah. I was also privileged. Opposite my grandma's house, there was a big band that would rehearse the Merrimax. You know, listen to them as a kid as well.
My goodness. You see, I'm going to use that word again, blessed. To have your neighbors and people opposite the road doing all these things.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen to Dave Brubeck. This is the original version of Take Five.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, that's certainly a famous jazz classic, isn't it? Take Five,
exactly.
Dave Brubeck's
yes, yeah.
amazing piece. Another choice of my guest here on People of Note this week, brought to you by Peter Turin Productions. And my guest is the distinguished jazz saxophonist, Mokoi Mkrabata, who's in Cape Town to do some concerts for a special birthday. And it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
A musician of your caliber.
Mm.
So thanks for spending time to be able to talk to us. Listening to that Dave Brubeck piece, which is famously with five beats to a bar, jazz, you can educate me now a little bit, Mokoi. Do you use strange rhythms like that in jazz as well? Do you use sort of five beats to a bar or seven from time to time?
Yes, we do. Yeah, there's one of famous songs from one of my albums, Ikamaguli Vulivumile, it's in 11/8.
Oh, yeah, 11/8.
Yeah. Yes. You know, all these polyrhythms and cross rhythms, you know, yeah. we like to mix and match. Yeah.
It also challenges your musicians, doesn't it? That when you write it like that, then
exactly.
the musicians have to play, have to be challenged.
Exactly. Especially when I'm abroad, you know, the question, hey, man, where's the one? Where's the one? You know, they can't make out where.
Yeah, exactly. just remind me, here in South Africa, do you have your own band? Your own band, or do you tend to play with groups?
I do. Yeah, I do have my own band. Yeah, and it's not one band. Sometimes it's a quintet. Sometimes it's a quartet. Sometimes it's a big band. You know, I've many projects in Johannesburg. And I have a string section as well. You know, there's a project called Brass Cup, Mokoi and Friends, Mokoi Quartet, and the strings attached. You know, and they all have albums.
Oh my. Yes. So, and you write for all of them as well. You would score for everything.
Exactly.
And then what does the Mokoi, what did you call it? The Mokoi Quartet.
Quartet, yes, yeah.
What instruments do you have in that group?
Piano, bass and drums.
Okay.
But here in Cape Town it's piano, bass, guitar and myself.
Okay, yeah. So you're working with Cape Town musicians.
Yeah. Over the years, the budget has shrunk, so one has to have a band, you know, in all the towns.
Yeah, so that you don't have to take all your musicians.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm sure here, being in Cape Town, you know many musicians who are, shall we say, up to playing with a musician of your standard.
Sure. Mm.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. They look forward to hearing, getting a call from me. Some don't believe. But Mokoi, is it you? You know, I know it from myself when I would get calls from, you know, my seniors growing up, you know. I know that feeling, yeah.
That's, you don't almost believe that is that person.
Yeah.
And you say, yes, it is me. I want you to play. And in Johannesburg, in your day-to-day life up there when you're not traveling, do you do a lot of performing and recording?
No, yeah, I'm home, you know, pruning the roses, and and admin, and I have a grandson now, and composing later, you know,
later
I don't take lots of gigs, yeah, I'm very selective, you know, yeah.
And that's obviously by choice, isn't
by
it?
By choice.
You've wanted to pull back after all you've done.
Yes.
But you are still writing, composing, are you? Do those tunes still come to your
still
head
come,
in the
still come, and get my... And also, I'm quite spoiled. I no longer write. I just give my guys, I have a team, a lead sheet. Or sometimes just sing a voice note, score that, you know. Yeah, of course, I pay them, you know.
What's a bit of a luxury? So you don't have to, in fact, sit and write out all the notes. They do that for you.
They do the rest. I give them a skeleton, they put meat, yeah.
Including things like the harmonies, or would you tell them what sort of harmonies you want?
Yeah, well, there's always a brief, yeah, I tell them, no, it's too wide, it's too dense, you know, open, just three parts there, you know. I always, you know, tell I make whatever song to whoever guy I take to.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you go and record it?
Yes. Before we record, I like to workshop it and play it in gigs, you know, and try, you know, because a lot of times I don't use the same guys in the studios, you know. Certain rhythm section, you know, and then I said, oh, Benice is on drums, I like him on this, Sipua on this, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My goodness. you obviously are a man who loves music desperately.
Yeah, yes.
Because it is, it's like a drug, isn't it, music,
it,
really?
It is, yeah.
And
yeah,
it keeps you an incredible, gives you, I should say, an incredible degree of satisfaction. I think whatever genre, as I said to you, I'm mostly a classical person.
Sure.
But even people who enjoy rock music and jazz, the joy that music gives you is unbelievable.
Yes, yeah.
Now, your next piece of music is called Mannenberg.
Oh, yeah.
Now, is this the famous Mannenberg
the
by
famous
Abdullah?
By Abdullah Ibrahim, yes. 70s now. It takes me back to 70s now. Teenager or pre-teenage, you know. Once again, hearing it, you know, from radios, you know, never mind our LPs at home, you know. It was all over the place, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you must have met him and maybe even
I worked with him once, yes, yeah, City Hall in Johannesburg, I've met him. And we've met overseas as well, you know, at festivals, you know.
What a career he's had, my
goodness. Yeah.
And this is one of his most famous pieces at Mannenberg.
For sure, yeah.
Of a classic, isn't it? Mannenberg, Abdullah Ibrahim's famous song.
For sure.
And I just want to see here, before we reach the end of the program, I see that you also do a fair amount of teaching, apart from being a family man. So teaching clearly is an important part for you.
Yeah, it is, and I like giving back, you know. Although it's not formal, it's private tutoring, you know. People come to me, I do it online. In fact, during COVID, I did more teaching than anything else, you know, teaching online. Yeah, it's like my tours abroad, they incorporate, you know, giving workshops, teaching.
Like masterclasses.
Masterclasses, yes, all of that, yeah.
Mm. And is there a steady stream of young students wanting to come to learn from you, to learn from the master?
Yes, I must say yes.
And also, you quoted as saying you want to keep South African music alive at home and also abroad.
Abroad, yes. Hence, I make sure that with my agent, you know, abroad, please make sure that every city there's a workshop, there's a masterclass, you know, teach them about South African music, you know. I've done stuff at the Berklee Music, you know, College of Music.
Oh, there in America.
Yes, UCLA, Howard University, and University of Pennsylvania, you know. They find our music very interesting. They love it, you know. Of course, it's distinct, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's beyond the great Abdullah Huma Sekela, you know. There's more to it.
You are, in fact, exploring.
Exactly, yes.
Which is good. I mean, I know this is a... I don't mean it to sound patronizing, but if you just copied them, it wouldn't be... original. So you're taking South African music a step further.
Exactly.
In fact, aren't you? That's
yes.
what you're doing.
Yep.
Locally and internationally.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say the for them our music is different.
Yes.
It's got an edge almost, doesn't it? Would you say that?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
And you said just to relax a bit now. You said that when you not working, you prune roses.
Yeah.
Do you make sure you get time to relax? Because although there's music passing through your mind all the time, there must be time where you can sit back and relax.
Yes, I make sure. Yeah. Thanks God, I work for myself. I draw my own schedule. You know, start the morning slowly, kitchen. You know, prior to that, just stretches. You know. Yeah, because arthritis is, you know.
Stretches of your hands.
Yeah, hands, your body, you know, exercises, yeah.
And practice, don't forget practice.
There's always a practice, yeah.
Because that's where you are.
Yes.
At the peak of your career.
For sure. You have to, encourage my students to, you know, stick with their practice, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't stop, yeah, one doesn't stop. Yeah.
Right till the end of your life, do that.
Yeah.
And I think it is important to make sure your students know that. Do you listen to music? I mean, maybe that's a stupid question. When you're not playing, when you're completely not preparing anything, not playing, do you sit back and put on some music?
Yes, I do. Musicians that are coming up, composing brilliant music. Yeah, although when I do give workshops, I encourage them to draw from what comes naturally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They want to sound like this, they want to sound like this, you know. Yeah, you can borrow, you know, ideas, you know, chord progressions, you know, from, you know, the heroes from abroad. But what comes naturally, take it out, don't suppress it, you know. Yeah.
And be proud of it.
Thank you.
Be confident.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Because, as you say, they can take chord progressions and things like that, but then they must make it their own.
They've got to make it
something unique.
Yeah. I remember in 2018, at the Lincoln Center with Wynton Marsalis, the big band, they really enjoyed one of my pieces called Face the Music. It's an easy mbakanga tune, but they could hear elements of, 2-5-1s, these progressions, like, wow, it fits in nicely to this, what that's new to them, you know. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong in, you know, being influenced,
I mean,
you know.
There you heard it from an expert, from McCoy, who has done that. And as you say, someone like Wynton Marsalis being impressed by something like that. But we have to more or less end it there. I know you're having a busy weekend. We're recording this ahead of your weekend in Cape Town.
Thank you.
And you've got a concert. We'll be gone by now, Saturday the 1st of June, as well as Sunday the 2nd of June. But then on the Thursday the 6th of June, you have a concert at Café Roux in Noordhoek at 6 p.m.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you catch this interview, you'll always be able to catch McCoy there in Noordhoek. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for making time, because I know you came straight from the airport to here.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
yeah.
You're a jet setter. Your last piece of music, McCoy, tell us what we're going to hear. Mr. Magic.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
It's a composition by Grover Washington. Grover Washington, one of my heroes, American jazz musician. When I was in cover bands, we'll play, this. To this day, it's being played, it's one of the hits,
He is a big name, isn't he?
Yes, he's passed on, But, although I was influenced by the locals, Winston Umankunku, Robbie Jensen, Basil Coutier, so did, people like Grover Washington, influenced me, John Coltrane, so I can't run away from that. So he's one of my heroes, too.
Yeah. No, influence is important, isn't it?
Yes.
No matter where in the world you stay.
Thank you. Yep,
listen to people and they influence you.
Yes, they impress you.
It's been interesting finding out about you, McCoy, and your life and the people that you've met with and the things that you've done. So thank you for sharing that with us. And we'll now play out with us and wish you well. We're going to wish you happy birthday, although we don't know what sort of special birthday it is.
Great.
But enjoy your stay in Cape Town, and I hope you'll come back and say hello.
I'd love that, yeah. And shout out to my friend Gary Whitner. We didn't speak much about him. Yeah, he's joining us on this tour. Gary Whitner, friend of mine since 2006.
I was going to say, it sounds like he's been a friend of yours for a long time.
Yes.
What does he play?
He plays guitar, brilliant guitar player.
Is he based in... Where is he based?
In Maine, in Maine State. United.
Oh, so he's out there.
Yes.
So he's coming out especially to play with you.
Yes.
How about that for friendship?
Great.
And respect.
Yes.
McCoy Mkhobata, thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
FMR 101.3 FM.